podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As we saw last week, that the Greek for come Lord Jesus, come Lord, is Maranatha. And we continue in that vein this morning. I want to show you some images of the future. Now recognize that these images of the future were cartoons that were drawn years and years ago. And the first one we see is TV glasses from Life magazine in 1963. Does that look familiar to you? Well, if you have virtual reality goggles, they're not that far from these TV glasses that were predicted in by this photograph in 1963. The next one is an electric scrubbing machine from 1910. As you can see, she just stands and watches as the machine does her cleaning for her. If anybody has a robotic vacuum, then they have the 2000s version of the electric scrubbing machine. And so this is not all that far from reality, right? They just about got that one right. The next one in 1969 for you teachers is the digital classroom. There's a couple things I want you to notice here. First of all, there is no teacher in the room. The teacher is on a screen teaching. Each student has a computer terminal, and this was in 1969, believe it or not. And then those students who are misbehaving, like the one in the bottom left, is getting pounded by some sort of a robot of some sort. So although we don't yet, there it is. Thank you for pointing that out for us. So we don't yet have this technology completely, although people are taking online classes, so it's not that far from reality, and maybe that that punishing robot will be in classes before too long as well. In addition to that, there are video calls being made in this picture, that was drawn in 1930, believe it or not, as these women are sitting around the table at a cafe of some sort and talking to folks far away from them with their headphones on and not paying attention to one another, staring into a screen. Is that so far from reality? All those years ago, someone had it nailed. And then also, Popular Science gave us a self-driving car back in 1940. And they are working on these things. The technology is here. If you see one pass by you, don't be afraid. They probably drive better than you do. But it said coming in 2 years in 1940. They were a little bit off, but indeed the self-driving car is here. So I want you to see that there were some cool innovations that people dreamed up about what the future might look like. Now, a lot of these did not come to pass, but some of them did come to pass, as you can see. But also, along with the cool innovations that come with the future, is also anxiety. Right? There is a fear called chronophobia, which is the fear of the future. Maybe some of you suffer from time to time from chronophobia. The reason that we have fear of the future is because we don't know what the future holds. We have no idea what the next minute's going to look like, much less the next year or the next decade. And so we are gripped with fear and anxiety about what might possibly happen. So maybe you are one who suffers from chronophobia. How we face the future is dependent on what we believe today. Our attitude and our thoughts and our heart toward the future is dependent on what we believe and who we believe today. So is the future a terrible monster to be feared? Or is the future a wonderful opportunity to be embraced? Well, it depends on what you believe and who you believe. So last Sunday, we recognized that there were folks in the church at Thessalonica who had anxiety over the future, specifically about their loved ones who had passed away. What's going to happen to them when Jesus returns? And Paul, we saw, encourages them. He says, a trumpet is going to sound, the voice of the archangel, and Christ will appear. And the dead in Christ, their bodies will rise out of the ground. to meet their spirit in the air. And then we who are left and alive at that point will be caught up, snatched up, raptured together with them in the air. And we will meet with the Lord together. Those who have died in Christ, those who are alive in Christ, we will all meet together with him in the air and we will live with him forever. And then he says, encourage one another with these words. And so we arrive at our passage this morning, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 to 11. As Paul continues to talk about the future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And so the Apostle Paul continues with his teaching about things that are yet to come. And it's obvious that these folks had a little bit of chronophobia. First of all, they were worried about those who had passed away. Paul has handled that in the last passage we looked at. But also it seems that they are concerned about what time, what day is the day of the Lord. The coming day of the Lord is a day or a time period that had been discussed in Scripture from all the way back to the prophets of the Old Testament. It's a day that just about every Jewish person, as well as Christians, was looking to as a future day in which the Lord was going to set some things straight in this world. And they understood the prophecy behind the day of the Lord. It was settled theology by this time. So what is the day of the Lord? Well, let's look to some of the prophets first of all. We'll begin with the prophet Amos, who taught, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord." Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark without a ray of brightness? And the prophet Isaiah also wrote about the day of the Lord. Wait, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp, every heart will melt with fear, terror will seize them, pain and anguish will grip them, they will writhe like a woman in labor, they will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and to destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light, the rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The prophet Joel also talked about this coming day of the Lord. Alas for that day, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And the prophet Malachi wrote about the day of the Lord too. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. Now, we could go on and on about what the Bible teaches about this coming day of the Lord and what it will be like. But let's kind of sum it up from what we've seen here and what we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And from some of these prophecies that we just read, we know this, that the day of the Lord, first of all, will be a time of destruction. I hope you saw that word in just about every one of those passages, a time of destruction, a time of terror, a time of pain, a time of anguish, a time of flames and earthquakes and darkness. It will be a time of destruction. It's not something that you should necessarily look forward to, because you see, this is the day when the Lord will bring his destruction into this world. Going on, we see that it is also a time of replacement. And what do I mean by that? Well, recognize this, that we live in this old earth, right? This old sinful earth. And this old sinful earth is scheduled to be destroyed and consumed and devastated so that the new earth can come in. This old age that we live in will be done away with so that the new age of Christ can be brought in. And the new earth will descend from heaven to replace this old, outdated, sinful, destroyed, devastated earth. And so Scripture talks about this replacement is coming. And the day of the Lord, the time when Christ returns, will be the time when that begins to happen. In addition to that, from all these passages, we see that it's a time of judgment. It's a time of destruction, a time of replacement, and a time of judgment. That the day of the Lord is God's wrath and anger against sin finally being poured out on all of those who refuse to follow Him. That finally the Lord comes to a time when He is no longer patient, awaiting for all who will come to trust in Him, and He will know when that time is right, and at that time His wrath will be poured out against all sin. And that will be followed by a time of judgment on the great throne. We talked a little bit about how Christ is going to return in the air to rapture His saints and to take them to be with Him in heaven. But there's another coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He will come to this world. And when He does, He will bring all of the powers of heaven with Him. All of the saints will come with Him, and He will set up His kingdom by force in this world. The great coming day of the Lord is on its way. And so I believe that Paul had taught about the coming day of the Lord, and that most of the Jewish believers in Jesus understood about the day of the Lord from what they had been taught growing up in the synagogue. And so they recognized that this day was coming, and there was anxiety about it because they fully expected that the Lord would return at any moment. And so they were concerned about this day, and they wanted to know, when is it? When is it? So that's our next logical question. When is the day of the Lord? When is this terrible time that Scripture talks about? Wouldn't it be convenient for us if we could figure out from Scripture some secret hidden code? If we could look in Scripture and if we could interpret it, you know, maybe it has something to do with signs in the sky. Maybe it has something to do with wars and rumors of wars. Maybe we can read the book of Revelation and discern who each one of those characters is and whether they're here or not. Maybe we can figure it out for ourselves when exactly the day of the Lord will begin. And so wouldn't it be great if we had that on our calendar? You know, if we could just pull out our cell phone and open up our Google Calendar, and there, written in black and white, is the day of the Lord. And that way, we could begin to prepare ourselves now for that day. And we'd be ready for when that would begin. Well, that's not the way it works, apparently. Because Paul says, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know that that's not how it works. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. We don't have to write to you about times and dates. In fact, Paul says, I don't have the time and the date. In fact, the truth of the matter is that even Jesus doesn't have the time and the date. Look at these passages of Scripture, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 43. Understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him, is what Jesus taught. So Jesus teaches The same thing that Paul is teaching here. In fact, that's where Paul got his teaching, is from the Lord. And he says, look, it's going to happen like a thief in the night. Now, what good thief do you know of that calls you beforehand and lets you know the night when they're going to break into your home? Chances are you have never gotten a call like that. Listen, I'm going to come to your house. I plan on stealing some things. Here's the date so you can put it on your calendar. No good thief does that. And so a thief in the night comes unexpectedly. In addition to that, we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. Everything, the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. And it's in speed it's coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. So even Peter talks about this thief in the night that is coming and this great day of the Lord that's going to set things straight in this world. And of course, John in his revelation had something to say about it too. Remember therefore what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Look, I come to you like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. So how do you wait for a thief? You got to stay awake. You got to be alert. If you know the thief is coming, because good thieves do not announce when they're coming. If they do, if they tell you when they're coming, if someone else tells you when the thief is coming, they're most likely lying. They're most likely wrong. So when is it? Well, Scripture tells us first it's impending. It's soon and very soon. This is a time that is definitely coming. There is no question about whether or not it is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. It is soon and very soon. It is imminent. It is impending. And the only reason Scripture tells us that the Lord delays is because of His grace and His love and His patience toward those who still need to be saved, to be brought into the kingdom before that great day of judgment, the day of the Lord. It will be impending. It also will be sudden, Scripture teaches us. Nobody's going to say, look, go back and read that book I wrote. I got it right. Go back and look at my teaching. I got it right. I believe that we will all be surprised as it suddenly happens and the day of the Lord comes in. I believe that Paul got the order correct here in 1 Thessalonians. First comes the Lord and the trumpet and Him meeting His people in the air at the rapture. Then comes this terrible day of the Lord, beginning with the tribulations that are predicted throughout Scripture. The rapture, and then the tribulation, and then the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the day of the Lord. It's impending, it's sudden, and it is unexpected. Unexpected. Look at verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. While people are saying peace and safety, see, everything's going well, life is good, they're enjoying things, the economy's good, there's not a whole lot of trouble, they're enjoying life, then destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You know, it's interesting how that pregnancy thing works, right? That you go and you see your doctor, and they tell you that you are with child. And nowadays, they can give you 3D imagery of that child inside the womb. And they give you a date, right? A date when that child is expected to arrive. And they call you an expectant mother. So there's a lot of expectation coming along with this. And then you start to get things ready in the house. You know, you start to prepare the room where this child is going to be received, and the crib and the bedding, and you have a baby shower, and all sorts of things are happening because you know that this baby is coming. And there's lots of signs that this baby is coming, right? Physical signs that you are aware of, changes that are taking place in the mother's body. And so you are expecting that this child will come. However, you do not know. the date or the time when that baby will come. Now, unless you're having a C-section and you've got it put down on the calendar and you're ready for that to come, you know, naturally speaking, you do not know when that time is coming. You just know it is coming. And this is how the day of the Lord is described here in Paul's writing and throughout the New Testament. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, taught this way too, that you can look forward to it like an expectant mother looks forward to the arrival of her child. You know it's coming, you see the signs, and you are aware of it, but when it happens, you do not know for sure the time or the date. So Christ is coming, but when? But when? Don't know. That doesn't keep us from preparing for it. We see the signs. We see the reality of things. We see how our world is headed. We see that there is more darkness than there is light, and we begin to prepare, even though we don't know when. So when is it? We don't know. But it is impending. It will be sudden, and it will be unexpected. So the third question is, how can I be ready? And I think this is what Paul wants to talk about here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 more than anything. Is he wants the people to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much more ready should we be now, centuries and centuries later, for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I be ready? We recognize this, that when Jesus came into this world the first time as a baby and lived a perfect life, that he brought in a new age. Scripture tells us that he brought light into the world. So here we are as human beings living in this old age. And when Jesus came into the world, he brought a new age. We are living in the age of darkness. And when Jesus came into this world, he brought in the age of light. Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79 says, "You, my child," this is now Zechariah speaking to his son, John the Baptist, he says, "You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." What was Zechariah talking about? Well, he was talking about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, that he was coming into this age of darkness, and he, like a rising sun, would come and bring the light to those living in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. John writes it this way in 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Yet I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining." John was saying is this, that the time and the age of darkness is passing away, and there is a time and an age of light that is coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is talking about here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, "We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So we should not be like others who are asleep, but we who are in Christ should be awake and sober." So how can we be ready? Well, first of all, if you do not know Christ, if you do not know Christ, Scripture teaches that you are in darkness. You are in darkness. So Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been called out of the age of darkness and into the light of Jesus Christ. Paul says that those who do not know Christ are still living in darkness. And so the day of the Lord will come on them like a thief in the night. They will be unprepared. So first, you are in darkness. Second, you are unprepared. In fact, the Apostle Paul in here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about the fact that those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who live in darkness, who are not ready for His return, are like those who are drunk. He says, those who get drunk at night. And so they stumble around in the darkness, not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, not knowing His light, and not prepared for the time when He will arrive. And if you do not know Christ also, He says, you will be surprised. You will be taken unaware when Christ returns. You are not ready for it. You are not prepared for it. You have no defense against it. That when that day of judgment comes, it's too late. There's not a thing you can do at that point if you have not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. So recognize this, that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at this great coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, then you will experience all of this wrath of God. You are in darkness, you are unprepared, and you will be surprised. Fortunately, the Apostle Paul writes about those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and he says to us in verse 9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you do know Christ, if you know Christ, the truth of the matter is that you are in the light, that you are living in the light, that you have embraced the new age of Jesus Christ who has come, that you have put your faith in Him for salvation, and now you are no longer living in this old age, but you are living in the age of light, that you do not belong to this kingdom of this world, but you belong to Christ's kingdom, that you are prepared for Him to return, and you are ready for Him to come, because you are His child, and you belong to His kingdom, and you are in the light if you know Christ. In addition to that, if you know Christ, you are equipped. The Apostle Paul says in verse 8, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. The Apostle Paul says that our defense against the coming day of the Lord is faith, hope, and love. That if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us on the cross and rose again from the dead, if we put our faith in the one who has forgiven us from our sins, and if we have hope in this God who promises us that we have a place with Him for all eternity, and that if we have love for one another and for our Lord Jesus Christ, if we have faith, hope, and love, that these things serve as a defense, as a helmet and a shield for us against the fear of that coming day, to get you through anything that you might face. We have faith, hope, and love, and we are equipped if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in addition to that, you are aware if you are in the Lord. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are aware. You are awake. You are sober, you are ready, you are prepared, you know His word, and you can be encouraged by the future. Verse 10 says, He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I hope you see that both of these passages of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 that we looked at last week, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 that we're looking at now, both end in the same way. Right? Look at verse 18 of chapter 4. Encourage one another with these words. So he says, look, Jesus is coming again, and he's going to meet his people in the air, and it's going to be like a magnet that passes over metal, right? And those who are in Christ are going to rise out of the ground and meet their spirits in the air. Those who are alive at that time who are in Christ are going to meet Him in the air. And just like you say, well, how is the Lord going to sort people out at that time? Because He knows those who are His. And like a magnet, it will draw to Him those who are in Christ. And we will be raptured and caught up with Him. And we will spend time with him in heaven. And then Scripture says that after a time of tribulation, that Christ is going to return to this world. And when he returns to this world on that great coming day of the Lord, he's going to bring his church and the armies of heaven with him to bear on this earth. He's going to bring in the new heavens and the new earth and the new kingdom. And all that is old and dark and terrible is going to be done away with. And he's going to come and he's going to judge this world. And so we have the teaching of the Word of God. What do we do with it? Chapter 5, verse 11, Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Why do we talk about the end times? Why are we excited about talking about prophecy? Why do we look into these things? Paul says the reason for it is not so we will be scared, but so we will be prepared. Not so that we will be discouraged, but so we will be encouraged. That we as Christians know what's coming. We know the timeline. We don't know exactly when, but we understand how it's going to come about. And we know that if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have nothing to fear. That for us, it will be nothing but glory. It will be nothing but heaven and his kingdom. And we'll experience his love in ways that we can't even imagine. So encourage one another and build each other up with these truths. When you think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. But say, Maranatha, Lord, come. I'm ready, Lord, now. If it's your will, come now. I'm ready for you, Lord. You are in the light if you know Christ. You are equipped and you are aware and you are ready for his coming. So how is your chronophobia today? Are you ready? Are you ready for him to return? I like the way that one of the commentators on this passage of Scripture, John Stott, writes it. He says, imagine that you and your family are enjoying a summer holiday. That's vacation. Recognize he's from Great Britain, where they call it a summer holiday. But imagine that you and your family are enjoying a vacation, and one evening the sun goes down, and you draw the curtains, and everybody goes to bed. You sleep well, too, because the following day you are expecting a visit from the family's favorite Uncle Bill. Now everybody loves Uncle Bill, and Uncle Bill is coming, and you're ready for him to come, and you go to bed that night with the curtains drawn, but because you are tired, you oversleep. In the morning, the sun rises as usual, but you know nothing about it because you are still fast asleep, and the curtains are still drawn. Only one member of your family wakes early, your eldest daughter. She gets up and she throws back the curtains in her room so that the sun is streaming in. And suddenly there's a loud knock on the front door. And Uncle Bill stands outside. Your daughter's ready to welcome him. She's not taken by surprise, for she's awake, she's alert, and she is in the light. But the rest of you are covered with confusion because you are still asleep and still in the darkness. So the question of Paul's teaching is this: to which age do we belong? The old age or the new age? Are we asleep in the darkness or are we awake in the light? Are our curtains still drawn or has the light of Jesus shone upon you? And the answer to that question will determine whether you are ready to face the future that God has for us or not. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Because in him there is hope for tomorrow. Whether he comes back tomorrow or not, that's where the hope is found, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray, first of all, that you know him as your Lord and Savior, because if you do, you have nothing to fear. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing at all in this world can separate us from the love of God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are ready, you are prepared, come what may. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for you today, because the coming day of the Lord will be like a thief in the night, and it will bring destruction, and it will bring terror, and it will bring separation. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, by all means, you should be anxious. You should experience some chronophobia. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to trust in Him for salvation so that these things will be secure in your heart and so that you will be ready to meet Him so you can say, Maranatha. And so you, along with King David, as he wrote in Psalm 23, can say, I'm ready to spend eternity in the house of the Lord. And so better is one day in His courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in the light than thousands in the darkness. And so I pray that you are prepared, that you are ready. Now, not just by salvation are we prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. Because in addition to that, Paul writes that we should be encouraging each other daily in our walk with Him so that we live in purity, so that we live in holiness, so that we are ready when He appears. And I pray that not only are we saved and prepared for Him to come, not only do we know that our name is in that book, not only do we know that we in Christ will be sucked up to that magnet and raptured and caught up with Him, but in addition to that, that we know that when we see Him, that we are people who are prepared and pleasing and ready to see Him and meet Him in the air. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning and pray, Lord, that it would inspire confidence in our hearts. Father, that we are a people who know what's going to happen in the future. We may not know what day it will occur. We may not know exactly what it will look like, but we know, Lord, that our future is in You. So I pray, Lord, that You would inspire us and encourage us and help us, Lord, to encourage one another with these truths. Help us, Lord, that when we lose a loved one in You, that, Lord, we are comforted by the fact that that loved one, we will be with them for all eternity in You. In addition to that, Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if there's someone here who is still questioning the future, who's still living in darkness and has not seen the light of Christ, Lord, I pray that today that they might make that right, that they might come to know You as Lord and Savior, and Father, that they might be prepared, filled with faith, hope, and love that serves as our defense against all that the future may bring. We praise You and we thank You, Lord, for Your Son, Jesus, and it's in His name that we pray. Amen.